What's up, hello, officer? How is this?
I'm sorry, we are in the middle of a complete title binger here at the Bloodshot Eyes and Sword Thumbs podcast. This is episode 137. Thank you for joining us.
Is that why you sounded like a drunk hobo?
That's why I sound like a drunk hobo.
Okay.
Yeah, so at edgystances.com. I don't know if we condone drunk hoboism, but I don't know. I guess blaze your own trail. But anyway, the whole point of that whole failed bit was we have seen the release of so many titles with many, many more to come. And we've spent a lot of time with gaming over this past week with some fun stuff that's come out. So far, what have we seen? The Surge 2. We've seen Destiny New Light. Code Vein. We've seen Link's Awakening. Jeez.
Call of Duty Mobile. Don't forget about the biggest one there is.
Oh, you can't forget about it.
I did forget about that elephant in the room, Call of Duty Mobile, with its Battle Royale baked in. Anyway, all that stuff's more on the way. Like, now on the Xbox dashboard, I'm seeing the Outer Worlds.
It's being, coming soon, baby.
And over on the... Oh, man. I'm going forever. Anyway, it's awesome to be here today to talk about it with you guys. All right? So, as I mentioned before, we were brought to you by edgystances.com. You can catch our show on various platforms, such as Dash Internet Radio, with new episodes that air on Thursdays. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that. I'm Jacob. Hello there. Joined, as always, by the Eagle.
Hello. What's good?
Hey, bud.
Hey.
You got your dream bane?
Head to toe.
I am Dreambane.
Oh, so dreamy.
Adopted the shadow.
Okay.
Put your shirt back on.
There's one rule. And over here we have Shaq Crow Keep. I am really, just killing this intro. Hey,
you're,
Brian.
You're crying is what you're doing.
Grasping. How's it going, man?
Hey, good. And as always, thanks everybody for tuning in, joining us.
That is a big old thank you. And also thank you for the comment to user. Yeah, well, I won't throw nothing out there. We love that stuff. Thanks for the comment. On top of all that, we'll talk about the social media just real quick. We're at Edgy Stances on Twitter and Instagram. Let us know what you're playing. Check out that Discord as well. Join the sassy slides and talk about games and radness. You know, all that fun stuff.
That's right.
Lately, they've been talking a lot about Link's Awakening and making it their way through there and various quests for exotics in the new Destiny content, which we'll be talking about a little bit later.
Can't wait.
Oh, yeah. I got a couple things to start us off. We'll wait here real quick. I just want to throw out, for people listening, last week, I got my Discord problems fixed. Sorry about that. That's all I'll say.
Hey, good job. Proud of you.
Yeah. I am so brave. So, we're going to talk about this week a little bit later. Just Surge, Sekiro, Shadowkeep, Vermeer, Bears.
Sekiro?
Beats Battlestar Galactica. Yeah, Sekiro.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. Killing some good stuff in there. But it's been mostly Destiny. But, hey, real quick. Did you guys see... All right, so there have been these tweets. Every time I think of the video, I laugh, though, because this is pretty adorable. So did you guys see the tweets going around from 343 about the voice actor that they have employed for Halo Infinite?
No.
No.
Coming up here. His name is Gyozo the Pug, and he makes alien noises, he's doing the voice acting.
We're speaking of a dog right now.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Pug.
Middle-aged man, formerly known as Gyozo the Pug.
But, the videos are great, because you just, I don't know, I just was wondering if you guys had seen that.
Did they have this pug in a microphone booth, and they're just, like, poking him
sure,
in the
man,
side
he's
or
playing
something?
With a little baseball. He's just sitting there going, like, wah, wah, wah. I'm like, that's an elite, if I ever heard one.
There you go. That's good.
I don't know if he'll come with the collector's edition, though. So, well, okay. Didn't something that's not so funny, besides my sense of humor. FIFA 20. FIFA's a huge game in the world. You know, everybody's into the footy. Eagles pushing it real good right now.
This is a rough
I'm not
one.
Really too into FIFA myself, but there's a lot of stuff going on with FIFA since it's 20, namely since its launch, very, very recently, lots of it. They apparently are having this ongoing problem where, like, the rosters will prioritize bench players and such, so a lot of the big, big stars aren't really playing on the teams when you're going through the campaign and all that, but that's been something that's happened over the past couple games.
But I want a bandit like Beckham.
But here's the thing. A lot of people are getting kind of pissed right now because apparently FIFA 20 as released on the Switch is blatantly just a reskin of FIFA 19.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Got some.
They even say so.
Ugh.
Not in those words. But
we reskinned it. Thanks.
They deal with it. K-bye. Like emoji with sunglasses. But no, like apparently they say that it's in so many words, and I kind of wish I had the quote. I don't know why I don't have that quote, actually. It's a shame because it was complete BS. And talking about how just in so many words, a lot of new content is not in the Switch version.
I know that, you know, the Switch isn't powerful enough to run some of the higher end stuff, but it's still a bummer to see it in action with, you know, a big AAA, you know, title like this, a yearly installment come out, and it's just kneecapped to get on the Switch. You know, with that being said, if you really want to play FIFA and all you have is a Switch, you know, maybe it'll get the job done for you, though.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you'll definitely be playing soccer in video game form.
That's what you want.
But, yeah, I'm not as plugged into FIFA to really sweat, you know, a lot of the other complaints, but, you know, the games I love, if there's something up, you know, I'm probably griping about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not even the biggest problem that they have, and this one's the most recent. Have you read about the doxing, apparently?
Oh, gosh, this hurt my heart.
Pardon?
Yeah. So, like, apparently EA had, what was it, like a website they had set up that leaked all of their esports competitors, like, personal information?
Yeah, I think you had to, like, for their tournament system or something, just have a profile presence.
Gosh.
On this platform, that's a lot of P words. Yeah, some of them had, you know, things like birthdays, countries of residence, first and last, all that stuff.
Yeah. Which, you know, for a lot of these people who kind of go by aliases most of the time, you know, that can be a, like, pretty big deal.
Yeah. Like, Superman's secret is out. What's this, ClarkKent@gmail.com? All right, I'm being a goof. But, you know, like, I don't know, it seems like kind of the trend with a lot of stuff I've seen in industry news and stuff lately to kind of dogpile on EA. That's why I didn't really, like, lead with EA, but this is just more stuff with them. But on the other side of things, they do have some properties that are doing quite well, and one of them is Apex Legends that just started up Season 3.
Let's go!
Yeah, man! New map. New stuff.
It's such a good update. It's,
man,
it's so big.
You got all that hype. Get into it.
All right. So, Apex kicked off their Season 3. They added a new character, Crypto, which, you know, we've talked about a little bit on the show. He's got a drone. He can EMP and bust up some shields, tag people with his drone so your friends can see him. He's devastating.
Yeah.
And he has his hands in his pockets pretty much the whole game, and that's cool, too. But yeah, the biggest thing I think they did was they added a new map, and with that they took away the old map. It's just gone.
Wait, what?
It's gone? King's Canyon?
It's gone.
Gone fishing?
They said they're going to bring it back, you know, when they figure out, like, how to do it. You know,
I've heard a couple of rumors involving that, but let's keep talking about the new map. What's the title for it?
World's Edge? Planet's Edge?
World's Edge.
World's Edge? Yeah.
What were you saying, Crow? I think I talked over you.
What does that mean, that it'll come back when you figure out how to get it back? What?
No, when the devs have said that they're going to bring it back, they're just not sure, and, like, how. You know, like, is it going to be retooled? Is it going to be server selection?
Ah.
A lot of people are speculating that it's going to come back for this Halloween event. That has kind of been teased a little bit.
Right.
But not sure. Yeah, it's just,
yeah,
it's all the way gone right now.
Have you guys missed the old map yet?
I like the old one still, but I don't spend all my time on Apex.
I'm just trying to think. So, like, when Burma came out for PUBG, I got burnt out on it pretty quickly, and definitely had a yearning to go back to the old map. I'm just wondering if that will start happening for players on Apex or not. Just kind of the same way.
So I'm at the
this
point.
That's hella interesting.
Like, I'm at the point where I've played enough of the new map that I think it might be neat to, you know, see the old map pop up in rotation every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Because the new map is bigger. The loot is a little bit more sparse. I've had several games on the new map where it's like half the game I don't have a gun. Like, I'm out of bullets. You know, like, there's a different kind of stress to it.
Yeah. Sounding exactly like what I went through. Burma.
King's Canyon is chocked full of loot, you know, so.
This one I was getting kind of a Fortnite-y feel to it, because I was running out of bullets all the time.
Get out of here.
Things were kind of spread out.
Go build your stairs out of here.
Okay.
Yeah, I gotcha. I feel you.
I like the vibe in this new one, though. The train is sick. Sure, it's going to get old.
Well,
but
I think overall, I just like the colors, right? You know, King's Canyon is a very brown map, whereas the new map has a lot of greens, blues, whites, reds. You know, it's just kind of all over the place. It's, you know, fun to look at.
More aesthetically pleasing.
There you go.
Packed with obstacles. There's a lot more going up. You know, a lot more fighting from higher elevations. Why can't I speak? I don't know. Just a lot more interesting things than just, you know, getting caught out in the desert.
One more quick question. So has crypto made his way into pretty much a meta phase?
So he's still like I think Respawn called it the overuse stage of, like, you know, there's one on every team because people are still trying him out.
Right.
But I definitely feel like he's going to be a mainstay in, like, high level competition.
Right.
Because, like,
information in a battle royale is, like, as important as bullets.
Sure.
That's the thing. If you know where your enemies are and they don't know where you are, like, you should win that fight. Like, it should be tough for you to lose that fight.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, you have that kind of information.
True.
You know, but with that being said, when he's using his drone, he can't move. So you're a man down on the DPS side of things. So.
Yeah, you're right. I had forgotten about that. There is that little, like, balance.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Still, though.
But, you know, for now, Brent, a lot of the high-level guys all have a crypto on the team, and they seem to be utilizing them pretty well.
Sure. Okay. You
know, I'll be interested to see.
You mentioned this.
Like, if they do, you know, one of those invitational or tournaments again here soon, where the last invitational, every single team was the exact same setup. Watson, Wraith, Pathfinder. All 20 squads. So,
dang.
I wonder if crypto will shake that up at all.
Metas in Battle Royale. But I guess that's something that's pretty unique to Apex because of the abilities.
Yeah, true.
And such for the most part. So you mentioned this a little bit earlier about King's Canyon not being here and my coming back. This rumor's actually been circulating for a good, I don't know, month and a half now. A lot of it was around a night survival mode. Mainly just about a nighttime mode of King's Canyon. And a lot of the data mine and, you know, Reddit talk is saying a lot of this is possible for a Halloween event.
Yeah. It's all but confirmed at this point. Just don't know what it entails, you know?
Yeah, everybody's talking about it. I have read that they found that there could be a new character already.
Yeah.
In it. But going by the name of Revenant, they found some sound files of this character just basically doing the announcing. So no telling if they're going to be there at all, but probably maybe at this point looks like just the voice is going to be different.
So there was a recent leak on Reddit, I think a couple days ago, that I believe the guy said he has like 14 characters in development that he's found. You know, we talked about Rampart. They also had a picture of Cuban Blisk, if you remember him from Titanfall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had him in there. And then, yeah, there was probably 7 other ones that had like kind of pictures or character like outlines. So, yeah, they got a bunch of stuff in the pipe. It would be shocking if they had a new one come out that quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It might just be for effect for the Halloween event. If, again, if it happens at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you're right. All but confirmed at this point.
Yeah, they leaked a bunch of skins for the characters and weapons, in which Caustic has a very terrifying clown skin. So,
oh my god. That guy gives me the creeps, but I think he's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So, check this out. There's actually some developing news since this just happened a few days back, as of yesterday. It just came out of beta testing, but PlayStation is now crossplay. At least these tools will be available for all developers from this point on.
Yeah, I think this was pretty big news.
Yeah, well, not to them. Apparently, they're not talking about it a whole lot. I originally read an article by a person named Aaron Mamet, I think it was, put up through Digital Trends, but just to talk about that, they were saying that Sony wasn't really advertising this a whole lot, and furthermore, that it was kind of buried in an article that was put out by Wired a few days back. And again, that's from the work of that article, but it was just kind of packed in there real quick, like, because they've made a lot of changes to their streaming platform and all that. They've done price cuts and such, and now they just snuck in, like, oh yeah, cross-platform.
I wonder if it's...
I mean, I think it's...
There's a piece of it to where they don't want to advertise something that, you know, basically doesn't exist yet. You know, they said the tools are available for developers to do it, you know, but, like, I'm wondering if they just didn't want to be like, well, I can play cross-play with this game because it's available on PS4 now.
Right.
You know, just control that messaging, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that, and then just, it's something that they didn't, not necessarily want to do, but, man, it's been taking a lot of budging for them to actually, you know, go through with it. It's, like, one of the last things that Sony's really kind of given up on trying to hold on to, and I don't know. I'm just glad it's happened.
It seems kind of out there that, you know, or it's kind of known, you know, I don't want to throw a lot of shade, but they were fighting the cross-platform stuff in order to, you know, do sales, you know, do the whole business thing.
Sure.
And the industry's changing, and so, you know, there's going to be different paths to take towards being successful. But what do you think about the idea of, like, okay, I understand they're both Sony, but take a PS4 and a PS5. You know, would cross-platform basically be like somebody playing Call of Duty on, let's just fast forward to when PS5's out. Somebody's playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which is the first I'm pretty sure one of the first formal PS4 crossplay title coming out. You know, could somebody on a PS4 version play with somebody on the PS5 version? And does that count as cross-platform? And do they not really want to advertise that because they want people to buy the PS5?
I wouldn't consider that cross-platform.
Yeah.
No. Would that be a given, though, that they would be able to play together?
Not necessarily.
No. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, probably not. I mean, we are talking about next-gen stuff. I'm just thinking out loud. But yeah, so PS4 games are probably all going to be... Well, they will be all cross-platform. That's really up to the developer at this point.
Yeah, I think that's where it should be, right? Like, leave it up to the developer if they want to do it, if they don't want to do it. One of the first to announce was PUBG. They opened up PS4 to Xbox cross-platform. So, I mean, it's all wide open now, which is, like, it's really neat. Like, I'm glad to see that finally happen.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, think of last year. Do you guys think we would have been talking about all these games coming out cross-platform within a year? I didn't see it coming. I thought next-gen consoles was when we would really start talking about it.
It's interesting to me because it definitely feels like a switch has been flipped.
Yeah, totally.
And I think you can point to who flipped that switch. Like, right?
Fortnite.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. We joked about it. We laughed about it, but they were too big to deny that, right?
Yeah. And I think we joked literally saying, wait, is it that easy? Is it literally just a flip of a switch? I feel like we
I
said
think
that.
You said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rocket League came out and said, it's literally running a command and, like, the servers will be cross-platform.
Yeah. I remember that. It was either Epic or Psyonix that had a similar thing that was just like, okay. Sony's saying all this stuff about it's hard to do this and hard to pull off that. It's not. It's just something we click on or don't click on.
Yeah. Strange.
They had to build, you know, stuff for it. You know, Sonics went into it, you know, a little bit of detail, but they said, hey, the work's done. We're ready. You know, if we get that email or that phone call, we can go cross-platform tonight. And like, that is so cool. And like, finally to see the effects of that, of these games starting to roll in. You know, look at Call of Duty. It's probably one of the biggest games this year, and they're coming out. Like, yeah, it's cross-platform at launch. No questions. Let's go.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm pretty sure they call that a power move. Something like that. Here's a different kind of cross-platform.
Hey.
Hey. November 5th, Red Dead Redemption 2 is apparently coming to PC.
Awesome.
Yes.
I mean...
So they can grief each other at 165 million frames per nanosecond.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I've only seen just kind of headlines with this. It is coming out with Rockstar's own launcher, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. And then it, well,
which is interesting in itself, too. What do you think about that?
It's coming to Steam later. Like.
That's right. How? What's the timeline difference?
I think a few weeks or a month or something. They had a date on it. It wasn't bad.
Okay. It's not like, a full year or anything like that.
No, not like Call of Duty and their special ops mode.
Oh,
get that trash out.
These launchers are getting out of control, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to have their own launcher now.
I can't wait for someone to design the launcher to run and launch to all run the all launchers. Launchers.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like I've already been thinking about it.
Consolidation software. Yeah.
You're just going to open Steam to then open Steam, Epic Game Store, Origin.
Yeah. I mean, it could almost just be up to Windows to kind of have, like...
It makes a little too much sense. Like, when are launchers going to start launching software comes, like, installed with games? I don't even know if that's a thing or could be a thing. But, yeah.
But are you so excited for you think about... Red Dead on PC, Brent? Are you going to hop into that again?
That's a good question. I believe with the Rockstar launcher, when you get it or you sign up for it or something, you get a free game. That might motivate me to get the Rockstar launcher, but I don't know. I'd probably just wait for Steam again. I'm all about my Steam library. Yeah, probably, honestly. I don't know, to be able to run that on a PC at, 1440, 4K. Yeah, I love the game. I know you guys weren't super into it, but I thought it was fantastic.
I mean, I don't think it's bad. It's just, I don't know.
It just kind of sucked. That's all.
I just chalk it up. It's got to be someone else's taste. Like, yeah, I can't just assume it sucks just because, like, I'm not with it. But, it's pretty 50-50 out there.
I would be really interested to see this thing running on, like, extremely high-end hardware.
Yeah. I mean, I bought GTA 5 twice. I mean, might as well buy Red Dead Redemption twice.
And that's how they're at the point where they're making their own launchers for their own games.
Yeah.
Staying completely independent. But yeah, that's kind of what I saw as far as headlines. I'm itching to talk about what happened this week far as some of the stuff that's come out.
Let's do it.
I want to get out up front. I didn't jump on Code Vein, though it's not being completely dragged.
Yeah.
Like a lot of
people seem to like it okay,
Yep. If you don't know, Code Vein is a Souls-like is put out by just old Bando. Without From Software.
I believe the correct title would be an anime Souls-like.
Yes, an anime Souls-like. I can't argue with you on that.
I mean, you kind of have to say that.
it fits the description so well.
Like, cautionary? Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, anime Souls-like.
Yeah.
I don't think you're listening. But, yeah, so, like, people are kind of getting into it. I think Eagle just mentioned casual Souls, something like that.
That's what I've heard.
Yep. You always have a helper. And I played that demo and I enjoyed it. It's just, it's pretty out there. But I'm going to give it a little bit of time, considering there's still The Surge 2, which I've loved Shadowkeep so much. Well, that might be an exaggeration. I've been doing the Shadowkeep stuff.
Okay, all right. About it.
But I did turn on a little bit more Surge 2 and have just been chipping away at Jericho City.
Yeah, Surge 2 is great. Like, real good. I'm about halfway through on New Game Plus, but Destiny kind of took over for the week for me. That and Apex.
You, knocked that out in half a day's time. that like halfway through New Game Plus.
Well, yeah,
just marching through it.
It's incredible how like far you can get if you know where the hidden enemies are and like
yep.
where to go
and how to parry.
I mean,
because
I don't know how you lasted so long without that.
I was playing Surge 2 on Legendary, apparently.
All skulls on.
For sure. For sure. But yeah, didn't get as much time. But, you know, between shifts at the old firecracker testing lounge.
Mm-hmm. Lounge.
I heard that the moon's haunted.
Oh.
Yeah.
Spoopy.
I hear it's really spooky up there. And
hey, it's pretty spooky up there.
And you want to be like, well, they got up there ghosts? And Bungie's like, no, we already used that. They're phantoms.
No, it's like, all right, guys, yeah. Let's think about this. What's the scariest shape you can think of?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil it, but...
A triangle.
Yeah.
Now get four of those things, triangle. Stick them together.
That's absolutely frightening. That's absolutely scary. Frightening. All right, so Shadowkeep goes with this really, you know, really dark, ominous kind of tone. Wants to creep you out. The moon is haunted. They're right. There are ghosts. They're not ghosts everywhere. There are phantoms everywhere. And there are hive, and there are craters, and there are moon rocks.
Ooh.
Moon cheese too, apparently. I'm digging it personally.
Me too.
Yeah, it's cool to go back there. I kind of, you know, we just talked about all this before the show, so I apologize to anybody listening if I say something like Eagle was right earlier when he said this, because we might not have even been recording that. But anyway, Eagle was right earlier when he said to me, at least when you mentioned that you thought it was going to be longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not trying to be negative, but, you know, Forsaken, if y'all don't already know, you know, Forsaken kind of came with that Dreaming City. So it just seemed a lot bigger than Shadowkeep.
Mm.
That's the thing. And, you know, like, Forsaken had the Tangled Shore and Dreaming City. You had kind of two locations. You know, you had just a bunch of stuff to carve through to even complete the, you know, quote-unquote campaign of Forsaken. And like Shadowkeep adds the moon, which we have all spent a lot of time on the moon already in Destiny 1.
Good amount of time.
You know, so that's like that right there is a little bit of a bummer in that, you know, the map itself, like we've already played, there's a lot of differences. Like it's not just like a copy and paste type of thing. There's a lot of additions, but it is like a lot the same though.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, they say new hive, but basically it's hive with red shells.
It's, yeah.
They're no different.
No.
Nope. We'll get into that. I don't want to put the cart before the horse here. So why don't we, between the three of us here real quick, to anybody listening who hasn't, because we play, you know, we've talked about Destiny quite a bit over mm-hmm. the course of recording this. Destiny New Light came out. Which its whole model from year one and just fix my terms if I'm wrong. Year one and year two, but not Forsaken? Something like that?
Everything up until Forsaken.
That's a much better way to put it. Mm-hmm. All right. What he said. Free to play.
Yeah.
Free to play. So I want to welcome all the brand new Guardians up there who want to defend the galaxy. The game's really fun. And just kind of want to throw some stuff out there real quick. If y'all could think of one tip for a brand new Guardian, what would it be?
Ooh.
Play it on PC.
yeah.
I bet you're loving that because we were talking about cross-platform a little bit earlier. That's something that's happened with New Light is mm-hmm. its own cross-save.
Yeah.
Just kind of the same.
Yeah.
Even more like a step up because...
Yeah, just the fact cross-eyed. I can play on my PC and then turn my Xbox on and I have the same character on both. I think that's fantastic.
Tip, that's like cross-platform plus one.
A tip for new players. I don't know, that's hard because now I'm just imagining myself going, oh, Destiny 2's free. I guess I'll download it. And then now I'm just remembering everything I've done in Destiny 2 to get to this point. And that's, exactly. It's overwhelming, honestly.
So, well, here. I think I got a good one.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Let yourself get sidetracked.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, if you just put your head down and try and, you know, run through all the missions, you know, one by one by one by one, you know, you are going to hit, like, level locks. You know, like, you've got to be level, you know, or you got to have this light to continue, or, you know, stuff like that, where things are going to be more and more difficult for you.
I see what you're saying.
But, like, if you let yourself get sidetracked, you know, wander into the lost sectors, do public events, things like that, you know, Destiny is a numbers game. You want the numbers to go up. So the more stuff that you do, the more chance you have at getting better loot and things with higher numbers, therefore making you more powerful so you can go do the later stuff.
Wait, precisely. So if somebody just starts Destiny, their character is going to be at level 1. It's not going to be at 750 like ours because we already have 750.
Everybody's characters? At 750 now.
Yep. And Brent, to throw this in there, and, you know, so you can think about your hint too, that's kind of why that's what's prompted me to ask you guys this and talk about it on the show for all the new Guardians. I had two friends, old Mouse and Keyboard Celis jumped up there. Congrats for joining the Hunters Union, by the way. The Hunters Guild. We're happy to don't listen to him. Just keep minding your own business while the Warlocks and Titans yell at each other. So, welcome, Celis. And I had another buddy start up New Light, and they're like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Like, what do we do? Because
it seems like there's not a good onboarding process for new players.
There is absolutely not. You know, I read a really good article, I feel, in my opinion, by Polygon. Look it up on there. It's like a guide for... I was trying to find some way to put into more eloquent words how to help my friends out, and I found this article by Polygon. And, you know, they had a really good line in there where they said that, you know, to the tune of Destiny is a self-driven game. There's a ton to do, but there are no arrows pointing you any which way. So right. I was kind of struggling to, you know, over Xbox Party Chat to tell them what to do, because even it's like just to get to quests, what do you do? Okay, you hold down what, you know, people my age call the select button, but like, you know, the two little square button, you press that, and then you hold X, and then you right bumper over, and there are your quests. It's just a lot.
Yeah. And then, like, when you get to the quest, you usually have, like, 30 things. None of them expressly says, this is a story mission. You know, like, if you want
right.
to do some curated content, click here. You know, some of it is like, well, it tells me I need to get 100 grenade launcher kills. I don't have a grenade launcher yet. It's like,
I will personally say, though, that I feel this is good for Destiny, though. I think it's good that it's a little obscure, that you have to invest your thoughts into figuring it out.
Well, like, I think it's good, like, overall for the community, right? Because, you know, you have someone, you know, like Celis jump in who's never really played Destiny, and he's got a crew of all of us who are very seasoned, who's like, hey, you click on anything, we'll come in with you, we'll shoot the bosses. You know, like just whatever you need to do, we're game to play, you know?
And, right.
Like, that's where, like, the Sherpering comes in, and that's fun, right? Like, hey, come here. Mm-hmm. Like, look at this. Like, hey, pick this up. You know, that kind of stuff.
And that's why I'm throwing that out there to tie that into what Brent was asking and saying, that, you know, we all start at 750. They don't put him in the tutorial, do they? I don't believe they put him in a big old tutorial, maybe that very first mission that you play Destiny 2 out of the box, and then you're just there, 750 light, go. And begin.
Yeah, I have no idea. It would almost be worth, like, maybe starting up a new character and just seeing what the intro's like.
Yeah. Well, my advice to a brand new Guardian is go into your quests and find the Red War. Because what Eagle was saying is right. Like, you'll start a quest up if you have it, and it'll just stop you. Because it's presuming that you've made progress in the past with something that may have come out with material that came out before that. But now it's all just open and there, so it's probably pretty confusing. I recommend the Red War. It's a lot of missions, a little bit of story, but it just keeps dumping items on you and glimmer.
Yeah.
And then you'll start to kind of get the vibe of what to do with Destiny 2, because it just looks like they kind of start you in endgame.
Yeah, everything's open. Everything's unlocked. You can do it all.
Yep. So yeah, and that's the last bit that I would say about it is it's not a game where you play for the next cutscene or the end of the story. It is galactic chores.
Yeah. It's an RPG, right? Like, you are building a character.
Way more RPG-ish now, too, with all the numbers they've thrown in there.
Yeah, I like Armor 2.0 for the most part. There's some things I don't like, but giving you all the stats and numbers is nice.
It's just a big turnover, too, because there's stuff that's like, okay, old armor doesn't go by Armor 2.0, so you got to keep that in mind. Get new items, swap those out, blah, blah, blah.
Catch me up on what you're talking about.
Armor 2.0 is their like update to mods and stats associated with armor. So you get this stuff called like energy, which is very similar to the old armor, right? That would be like, all right, you got fire resistance, and you could dump legendary shards and masterwork cores to like masterwork that armor. So now you're doing the same thing, but with the amount of energy you put into it, you can then associate multiple mods with it.
Yeah.
So you've got...
I look at it like the power core and the surge and your ability to have as many implants as long as you have enough energy to run it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it just seems like another step further to like, all right, I want a Titan that is always going to have his melee. Like just everything. Stack all these mods together. You know, basically impervious to void damage, and I always have my shoulder charge. You know, can't do anything else, but like I can do that. I can build this character.
Well, have you looked at your character? Have you seen that they brought back 3 stats from Destiny 1, Crow?
No. I mean, I literally just am right now in the middle of the first mission of Shadowkeep.
With Destiny 2, we've had 3 stats really to worry about, and that's what resilience, mobility, and recovery.
Right.
They brought back 3 more, like intellect, discipline, and I'm blanking the last one. But I believe discipline is how fast your grenade ability comes back. Mm-hmm. Intellect is how quickly your super charges.
Okay.
And so based on your mods and the armor that you choose, like you can spec up to, you know, have that give and take, like Eagle was mentioning. Like, you know, the way my hunter is right now, I always have knives. Always have knives.
Okay, yeah, because I definitely felt like my grenades were taking forever to respawn in. And
oh, jeez.
Before, I felt like I was getting them pretty regularly, so I just need to really spec for that now.
Yeah, and like, I think the really important thing that is included with this is it actually gives you the like number of like how many seconds or minutes it's going to take to refill that grenade.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, all right, my grenade right now is at 1.06 minutes. So, like, if I start stacking some of these mods on there, I can get it down to 30 seconds, you know, just get them twice as fast.
Right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Eagle's right. It's an RPG. They've even admitted it now. It's more MMO than it's ever been, which is interesting. That's why I like the ambiguity with not knowing what to do. You got to go get on a forum. You got to ask a friend to figure out what to do. You know, there's so many exotics now that it kind of has that vibe that RPGs have, just all types of possibilities for builds.
And I got a last, you know, helpful tip, and I'll shut up about it.
Keep them coming, buddy.
Don't be afraid to forum search or, like, Google search something.
I was going to say that earlier, but worried about what y'all would say. Guess I shouldn't do that. Like, yeah, Google's your friend. Just knock it out.
Because 80% of, like, getting that exotic rifle or whatever is actually beating the boss or, like, doing the thing. You know, knowing how to get there, I think, is helpful, you know, from Google or Reddit or whatever.
Yeah, save that time because you still got to do the grunt work.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're solving a puzzle, like, you just finding the answer to a puzzle. You just, I don't know. Bungee puzzles are kind of tough.
They're obscure and arcane. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how anybody figures them out.
Well, they're trying to do all this platform RPG MMO stuff through a first-person shooter format.
Yeah.
And so it makes Destiny so interesting.
You're right.
Okay, so that's for the new Guardians. For the ones that are returning, the moon has a very cool vibe. We just talked about all this. A lot of new stuff that has come in with it, such as... We just talked about the armor, but what about the finishers? This is one of my favorite things, and I don't know why.
They're good.
I really don't know why.
They're satisfying, man. They feel good.
Have you done a finisher yet, Brent?
No.
Yeah. It's okay, so now once you get to the enemy to a certain point, they have a little glowy orb over their head. You click on your right bumper or whatever key you do, and you go into a an animation that's an insta-kill.
You melee them.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, I have noticed the orbs above their heads, but I didn't...
different button to take advantage of the orb.
It's clicking the right stick on console. So I don't know
what the equivalent would be. I press right bumper for mine. For a finisher.
Do you have melee on the right stick?
Yep.
Okay. So I have my melee on the right bumper.
Will I be prompted if I just get close enough?
It's pretty generous with the range, but yeah, I mean, you can even do it. I haven't been able to do it to big bosses, but you can do it to medium-sized bosses. Like,
just
you get
smash down, just your face on the keyboard.
What does that give you? What advantage is that?
It's an instant kill. It gets you a couple iframes, you know, like if stuff's going around.
Just a couple.
Yeah, not much. And then you also get mods to, like, you cash in a little bit of your super bar, and that finisher will pop out heavy ammo.
Okay.
So yeah, it's kind of like interesting Doom? Because it's more than just aesthetic. Yes. It serves a purpose as, like, to your build. So, for instance, I'm using the Assassin's Cowl on my Hunter, so every time I pull off a finisher, I go invisible, and my health regens, and my shields charge.
Oh.
It's going to be nerfed, just like the Wormhouse Crown, because they won't let the Hunters have a good day. But it's cool, though, because it's another thing to think about while you're fighting. It's neat. I dig it. And so you start off with the default one. I actually don't know what the Warlock is. I know the Titans give him just a big old knuckle sandwich, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just wham. Just shuts him up. And the Hunters do a little flippy thing. And I found that you can unlock other ones. So right now I do this snappy little kick in the chest. Like wham.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm envisioning the Golden Age drop kick.
Oh, like, I forgot about that one.
So,
like Eagle, Marty Jannetty, bro.
Have you been playing Destiny like Doom now? Kind of like the mindset of trying to get the smaller mobs down to that certain health because you know you need this or that.
So it is not both. Nearly as crucial as Doom's system is. So,
sure.
No.
Sure.
Oh.
You know, this is more of a, you know, whittling down on a big ogre or a knight or something and seeing the ball pop up on his head when he's like a third of health. And it's just an instant delete button. It is
right.
Like better to do that than to waste any more ammo or use my super or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
So that, and then you get a little movement out of it because it'll kind of leash you to that enemy.
Uh-huh.
So I've used it to kind of move through a battlefield quicker.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which is kind of
especially
neat.
Going invisible, like with that exotic that I'm using now. I've chained 8 assassinations or finishers. Whoa. Or whatever you want to call them.
Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, the flex. The only gripe I really have is, I wouldn't call it a gripe, but I wish the camera was kind of free look while you were doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of zooms you to the side and then puts this dark cloud around you. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. I want so bad, I want a Stone Cold Stunner as a finisher. I think it, every time I think about it, I'm tickled. I think about just kicking a knight in the gut, just wham. Oh, man. Like, the ideas are endless with the finishers. And I like all this stuff that they're throwing in there because there's a good place for it, too. Man, I feel like I'm saying all these good things about Destiny. I just feel like they made a lot of pretty neat decisions. They've adopted a season pass system, or you know, fill up the levels, you get goodies for every level. There's a premium and a free bar, and with all these exotics and different materials out there, different things like emotes, finishers, all that kind of stuff, they just have stuff to give away and actually have it mean something.
I will say I was a little disappointed in the quality of the content in the season pass, because like, just browsing through it, there's, like, 3 sets of the same armor, just at higher lights, for me.
It's like, yeah. Well, like, if they're going to give away armor, like, you know we're just going to use it to feed it to what we want to infuse and upgrade.
That kind of stuff doesn't make any sense. There are some, like, cool things in there. I do think they missed a little bit on that season pass.
I don't know so much about the, you know, I don't have so much of an opinion on the actual content they have in there, like you're saying, but I do think Destiny is a good game for a season pass.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I think they have a lot to offer.
There's like, what, like 590 weapons or something in the game, and in the season pass, I think they give you 2 or 3, you know, like pad that out. I think you should hit levels faster. Man. You should get some more stuff.
So much there for New Guardians.
Yeah, that's true.
Pick up Shadowkeep, you'll get Forsaken, I believe, with it.
Yeah. I haven't heard you guys say how they changed the shader system. Can you guys touch on that?
I haven't seen the shaders so much as... Do you mean the ornaments? Because I haven't seen a difference in the shaders personally.
No, like, you know, the shaders. How, you know, you get individual shaders to put on to individual pieces of armor instead of just, like, the whole set. Did they change that? I thought
it's always been like that.
No, I think that's the exact same. I could be wrong, but because I'm still in that process where I'm shedding armor and weapons left and right, so I haven't like shaded anything.
I'm sure they haven't changed it, and I don't know, man. That bummed me out.
Yeah. Are you saying like you? What are you saying? Like you can't change the shaders on individual pieces?
No, you can. I don't think the shaders changed at all.
No.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I liked how they changed the ornament thing. Like, you can get armor and you can make it look like, I think some of the stuff they only have available right now is, as of when we're recording, is some of the Eververse sets, like Dragonfly, Regalia. I don't know if that's Eververse. I'm just thinking of what the ornaments that are available.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, those armors that they gave away, if you get new stuff, you can just change its appearance to look like that.
They need to let you use your raid armor as ornaments.
That's a good idea.
Hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
To show off your... Look at your achievements, bud.
That's what I'm saying. That's what that cool. game's all about, is look at what I did.
Galactic Barbies.
They do call your guardians dolls, so... Dress them up.
Oh, man. New guardians have so much to do.
Yeah, get out there.
3 raids. Leviathan. Oh, my goodness. The Forge.
Aren't people just going to melt the Leviathan now?
No, everything's 750.
Everything got jumped to 750. Everything.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So,
everything
no.
Everything is 750.
I mean, you like if you spend a few hours, you'll be over-leveled for it, so
right.
It won't be as hard. But yeah, I mean, you could literally never play Destiny, start a new account for free, walk straight into the Leviathan and play it. You know, like, that is really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm gonna start putting down the landing gear on the Destiny talk. I know that we've been a little fancy about Destiny over the past year. We've always been fans of it. We've talked about it a lot. This was the chance we were gonna give it. Being divorced now from Activision, Bungie, that is who I'm talking about. And I think they're on a pretty cool path. I'm anxious to see what else is gonna come out. And I was a little skeptical about this.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think they did a good job. I'm excited to see what's next. If they can keep this rolling.
I've already ran through Shadowkeep, and this isn't a flex. I'm just saying this is big for me because I don't play Destiny right. But I've gone through Shadowkeep and even knocked out some of the grinds. I just really like the new format.
Agreed.
But yeah. What do you think thus far, even though you don't know everything that's happening with Shadowkeep just yet, Brent?
Me?
Yeah.
How
you digging that moon?
Honestly, just hearing what you guys have said, there's obviously a lot that I still need to grasp, and I need to understand the changes. I'm also kind of relearning Destiny on PC. That it might be strange to hear that, but key bindings and all this and that.
Oh, that's right. You're clicking heads now.
I mean, I just think back to when I started playing Destiny 1, right? Almost at the end of its life cycle, and how much stuff I had to do, and the like almost a full month of grinding constantly, and then finally getting to the end of the raid. I'm kind of getting that same feeling ish. I don't know. I'm definitely excited to jump back in. I was very excited to jump in on PC. I think Bungie did a really smart thing going free to play. Quickly, I almost want to say I would want to send Bungie $10 a month to be able to play Destiny.
Get out of here.
What?
Get out of here.
No. Nah.
Yeah, I mean, look at it this way. We've went, you know, a month grinding Destiny out and then 6 months not playing it at all. I don't know. I would almost rather do that than, I don't know, spend the almost $300 I already have on this single game.
I think the money, we'll dwell on it for just a second. I think the money was kind of part of the fuel for us being displeased with Destiny, because, you know, Eagle mentioned something a little bit earlier. This, you know, I don't want to be shady about it, but this is a reskin again. Mm-hmm. Of a lot of the stuff. Like, it doesn't bother me as much as I've seen in the past, but, you know, we didn't drop $40, you know, every other month, you know, to get where we're getting for this. And, you know, I do wish they did kind of have some new stuff in there, but if they want monthly money, like, they can't just have a blue Alkalite and then a red Alkalite and then a yellow Alkalite. I think they have a lot more.
I don't know. Sure they can. They're just not going to get my $10 every month just when new content drops.
Sure. I do like the free-to-play in the sense of the PvP, because I think their whole Crucible, like, they've already kind of reorganized the Crucible for New Light and for Shadowkeep. But with players playing for free and being able to jump in the Crucible, I think that's going to put a bigger demand on their PvP. And I think they're going to need to sort that out, because that's where they'll bring in the most players, I think, as far as free players.
You think?
Really?
Would be doing Crucible.
No.
Competitive game types, you know? I mean, Destiny's just one of those things that has something for everybody, as long as you enjoy a first-person shooter.
Yeah, I actually totally see what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at the success of Fortnite and Apex. You know, those are all, they're huge, and they're pure PvP, and that's it.
Is that how it's going to shake out, though? I see what you're saying, but is that going to reflect reality?
I don't know. Will we see a Destiny Battle Royale? I don't know.
It would work.
You think so?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Look at Apex. Sure.
Look at Apex. Yeah, we can do it with abilities. Can we do it with messed up exotics?
Find the Galahorn. Let's go.
Oh, man. I'm so glad we're talking about Destiny with smiles on our faces again.
Yeah.
Just, we still can't tell anybody when we go to Nessus. New Guardians, welcome. We're at Edgy Stances on social media. Like, holler at us. We got a friendly group going. We all like to play with each other. We like to Sherpa each other through. We got people, you know, that come through. We go back, melt bosses with them. Get them, those Ingrams.
Ingrams.
I hate the word engram. I wish they chose something different. But, yeah. So, we've been a little staggered on our overachievers bits because of so much stuff coming out, and we wanted to give it some time to kind of mature in its numbers. And then the weeks go by and we have to double back, and, you know, on the ones that we've already covered. So today the Eagle's doing his thing. We're going to talk about the big game for us last week, and he's got our numbers for the Surge too.
That's right. So yeah, this week on Overachievers, we'll take a look at the Surge 2, look at some of the most common achievements down to some of the rarest. I got a fun little section of some stats at the end of it, too. Maybe you'll find it interesting. Alright, so, most common achievement in the game is, of course, Rigged and Ready.
Here we go. That's like just starting the game, right?
Pretty much. Like,
yeah, there is that little buffer of a tutorial.
But this is to acquire an Exo-Rig, which is at 84.99%.
What are you people doing?
What are you people doing?
That's what I'm saying. Like I don't know. These Souls likes, they need to stop giving the, hey, this is so you know if you like it or not. Just get into it now. Just get right into it.
Spoiler alert, I guess, but in the Surge 2, do you start off in a wheelchair as well?
No.
No.
Okay.
You start off in a plane crash.
And then in a wheelchair.
You'd think.
You probably could have been. Yeah, that's maybe, I don't know, you could maybe stretch it out to 20 minutes, but that could be like 3 minutes into the game.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, that's just people that are like, nope.
Nope. Don't like it. Don't like the character creator. Get it out of here.
Which, it's like, what are you doing? Because this is a sequel and the souls and souls like they have come and like not gone, but you know, they're obviously not the type of the hype, top of the hype pile anymore. Like, I figure you know what you're getting into walking into the Surge too. All right, I'll stop.
All right, so next up we've got Jailbreak, which is to defeat Warden Garcia, which is kind of like your first boss, like tutorial boss, you know.
What was the first boss in the Surge 1? What was that thing called?
Pax?
Pax, that's it.
Yeah.
It's the Pax of Surge 2?
I thought Garcia was more of like a tutorial boss.
Yeah.
Like a Gundyr.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't put him up on the level with Pax.
Okay.
Of the Surge 1. Kind of maybe like just a tougher enemy.
Did he have a 2.0?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, for people listening who may not know, if you beat bosses in a certain way in the Surge, you can get a 2.0 version of their
weapon. Right. I think I did, because I think I got his 2.0 the second time I fought him. New Game Plus.
Okay. Okay.
Which
didn't
boy,
mean to jam you up there.
That fight was a lot easier than the first time you come around him.
There's a lot going on in the Surge.
It is.
It's operating your, you know, like your body. to exist.
But that achievement's down at 76.36%.
Yeah. That one can be tough, though. Mm-hmm. He's got that drone that keeps the heat on you.
He sucks.
You don't get good at dodging.
That drone sucks.
Yeah, you're going to spend a lot of time there if you don't do what the signs on the wall say.
I mean, yes.
And that's press right away for that.
All right, so next up, we've got the first real boss. This would be what I would equate to Pax Crow.
Okay.
So this is Overheated, which is to defeat Lil Johnny, which is down at 38.13%.
And there's a
drop
off.
I got tilted during this boss with that lock on. It's the lock on, I feel.
It's you.
It's the lock on. It's absolutely. I ended up beating him. I found like his little cheat spot where he just doesn't know you're there at all.
Some people just gotta.
It's tough.
You got a cheat spot to get through it sometimes, you know.
Man, I thought we were.
Oh, souls like anything goes. If you got through it, you got through it.
That's true.
That's all you have. To, like it's all fair game.
All right. So moving on, we've pulled the achievement for another boss, which is Home Invasion, which is to defeat Delver, which takes another dip down to 24.58%.
Okay,
oh, man,
but,
I'm
I mean,
sorry,
not as much as a dip,
that.
Though, from 76 to 38.
Yeah.
Man, this is where I'm not past Delver. I haven't even met Delver yet.
Mm, yeah.
So this is where I am at the moment, and then Shadowkeep came out.
Is Delver, like, halfway through the game, Eagle?
More? Maybe a little bit before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he is a main story boss. All right, so next up. This is a complete shame. This should be closer to 100%, which is offensive defense to perform 30 directional blocks.
Yeah.
Which is at 23.97%.
I'm not in that percentage.
Gosh, I got this in the first few minutes.
I just learned it, dude. No, you're right. You're right.
So the directional block is the parry that we've talked about. And, like, some enemies just require it. You know, you're not going to beat them without it. But, yeah, I was shocked to see how low that number is.
Yeah.
And this is a completely new system from the Surge 1, correct?
Correct.
And does
it
kind of...
Yeah, the Surge 1 was more like, get a block at the right time, and you'd get the animation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of wish we didn't have I didn't have all the tech problems that we had last week when we were actually talking about the Surge. But I was saying on there, like, I kind of understand the problems with the lock-ons because they do this, you choose your limb once you lock on to somebody.
Hmm.
So beyond that, it's like pressing the stick. After you press block, you press the stick in the direction you want to block in.
Oh,
and it can
okay.
be from all four directions, any of the four directions. And a lot of their tells, like, they'll look like they're winding up to hit you on the right, and they spin instead and hit you on the left.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's made to confuse you, yeah.
Oh, it's kind of crazy. But at the beginning, they give you a chip that tells you where it's coming from. and like which direction they're going to hit, and that kind of helps you get it down.
Right.
But I didn't find this out until, honestly, right where I'm at.
I don't know.
But now I'm optimistic about the rest of the game.
Yeah. It'll help.
I was like, this is tough, man.
All right. So next up, I like this achievement from the first game. They brought it back. It's called Risk Tolerant, which is to kill a boss while carrying 30,000 tech scrap.
Ah, I remember that. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. So it's just a good feeling to, you know, because sometimes you'll wander into a boss arena and be like, oh no, like my pockets are full of currency. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to die and I'm going to drop all this right
cringe,
here.
You just cringe. I like how it gives the pulses of the scrap when you drop it. It gives the health pulses.
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic.
So it's like part of the strategy. So when you go back for your loot, Brent, like if you stand near it, you'll get HP buffs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you can kind of decide within that 2 minutes when you're, like, say, if you lose it in a boss fight. You know,
to snatch it up or leave it there for an advantage?
Or leave it for a minute, yeah.
Whoa. That's, yeah. All right.
It's a neat idea.
So there was a boss later in the game in which I had to fight him a couple times, and finally I went in, cashed all my tech scrap in, went out, killed one enemy, went into the boss, and, like, died in the center of the arena. And then came back to it and just used that as, like, a healing rift, like, for the whole fight.
And you just, like, crowded it and just knocked the hell out of it?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was, like, 20 wow. scrap, but it was, like, this is helping. This is helping more than you know.
So there's no difference between 20 scrap and 20,000 scrap?
No, just the stakes that are on the ground.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't heal really any neat. Faster or anything.
Love a good ground stake.
But that achievement's down at 13.25%.
Is that the first time we've ever seen an achievement cross two games?
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, that's a good question.
Maybe, though. I'll have to maybe do some research.
Yeah, if so, interesting.
All right, so we'll keep spoilers free so I won't read the names of any of the like game completion achievements.
Sure.
But the achievement that you get when you complete the game is at 9.27% right now. So pretty rare.
What's that about?
It's crazy. That's
and
what it's about.
Difficulty spike is waiting for me.
Gosh.
More people have platinumed the PS4 Spider-Man game than beat The Surge 2.
I heard it's a great game.
It is.
All right, so moving on to the rarest. I will say, side note, most of the achievements are at like 5-6% for the incredibly rare ones, which is surprising. It seems like a real dedicated, you know, group going through that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But there is one that is markedly lower than the rest, which is Swiss Army Drone, and that's to acquire all combat drones, which is down at 0.64%.
Wow, okay.
I have a theory.
Okay.
I have a theory. Without spoiling, I think a combat drone or two comes from a vendor where if you see through a quest, that vendor will
disappears.
No longer be available.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And there are multiple of those.
Shoot, really?
Yep.
Oh. So, yeah, that's my theory as to why that's so low.
So, yeah, shout-outs to you overachievers out there getting it. I do want to say real quick, when you finish the game, they give you some really cool stats. I won't go, you know, too deep into it or anything. But my stats for The Surge 2 was that I died 96 times.
That's not so bad.
Not so bad.
Yeah.
About 95 of them were complete BS. They also show you the enemy that killed you the most, and I knew exactly what it was before I saw it, which mine was the Hover Patrol.
The robots, the level 4 robots?
Yeah, the ones with the like two little arms that spin around and slap you.
Yeah, I hate those things.
So that one got me 10 times.
Yeah, I just starfished those.
Yeah, well, I didn't have one when I was fighting that.
You can't have the combo without the wombo.
Wombo. But the last one I pulled was, so like my nemesis was the Hover Patrol, but the most common nemesis for people, accounting for 33%, is the Gaia statue.
I have a theory.
Yes, sir. You in the back.
I think this is tied into the offensive defense achievement. Perform 30 directional blocks at 23.97, being so low.
Yeah.
I think, like, once you realize, and sorry, spoiler, but we're a video game show. Once you realize parries, those Gaia statues are nothing.
Nothing.
They're nothing but pinatas full of tasty gear.
Unless you cut one of their legs off. Relieve them
of their bulging seams of stress.
Careful.
Have you cut one of their legs off, Jake?
Drooling. What's up?
Have you cut one of the Gaia statues' legs off?
You recording this?
Mm.
I cut all kinds of things off those.
So if you cut one of their legs off, they'll like take a knee, and then their head turns into a laser.
Which, yeah, they boy, that they look sucks. Like the Brent. What's the demon from Dark Souls 1?
I don't know which one.
The one that's crawling around on one leg with no head.
Oh, Titanite demons.
Yep, kind of looks like that when you chop off its leg. It just kind of drags itself around.
It sucks.
It's kind of sad till it tries to cyclops you with its eye beam, and then you're just like, all right.
Good night, sweet prince.
Yeah, that's the surge. I would be curious to see anybody else's stats when you finish them up, Jake, or who was your nemesis?
Right. Yeah, I just knocked out the moon. It's no longer haunted. This house is clear.
There you go.
So I'll be able to get in there. All right, y'all. I want to thank everybody listening to this podcast. Made it through without any tech difficulties whatsoever. We're back, so that's great. Thank you very much. I want to remind one more time, in case you wanted to tell a buddy about us, some places that people can find this pretty easily. Apple Podcasts, of course, Spotify. Try out the Dash Internet Radio app. We're on their multiplayer channel. New episodes air on Thursdays. And then, edgystances.com, where you can catch all of our episodes. This is episode 137. I think the way that our RSS feed works is that we only have the most recent 100 available on a lot of these apps at any given time. So if you want to hear what we had to say about a game that came out in the past couple years, go to edgystances.com. What am I forgetting, guys? Because I just said a lot of stuff. Oh, at Edgy Stances on Twitter and Instagram. There you will find the instructions to join the Discord. Talk to us in real time. We have a great time in there. We have a great time watching these guys stream every now and then and just partying up with them in general. Where can we find y'all over the course of the week?
Well, if you want to play with me, I don't know what the new raid in Destiny 2 is. But I know how to beat Oryx in Destiny 1, so if that's something you're interested in, hit me up on the Discord. That's
going to come in handy, bud.
I'll Sherpa you through that.
Oh, great.
Wow.
And you can find me pretty much anywhere at Best Eagle Alive.
That's right, y'all. Dust off your 360s. We're going for Oryx. I'm Jacob, that's Rattleboy Al on Xbox. We'd love to have a good time with all y'all out there. Run some Destiny, run some Rocket League, run some Apex Legends right now and then. But yeah, so a million thank yous. We're very humble. Thank you very much for listening. And have a great week. Stay Amber.
I do.
Have the best day you've ever had.